It's a trap.
Hello and welcome to episode number 13 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
And today we're joined by a special guest back in Minnesota. He left us for a while, but he's come back. We have Brad Miller here. Brad, well, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back, Brad. Brad is a Worlds 2015 Top 16 finisher and Adepticon Hoth System Open second place, and recently finished in the Kansas City Regional in the top eight.
Pretty strong record there, Brad, as of late.
It's going pretty well.
How was your experience at Adepticon? You made second place. You were so close.
Yeah, Adepticon was the greatest build-up to the biggest letdown of the season so far for me. That was a big trip. That was a big deal. I really wanted to go. It was kind of a crazy weekend. It was a long weekend. New system that they put in place by FFG for that tournament. And that kind of left us all at a quandary after day one, not really knowing what we were walking into on Saturday.
Yeah, it was very shaken up because the meta, Wave 8, was really fresh coming into that. So it was hard to expect what to see. We saw a lot of Jumpmaster, but a lot of other stuff too.
Well, the difference between day one and day two was phenomenal. We had PAL bases everywhere on day one of qualifying. And then on the Thursday qualifier, or Friday qualifier?
Friday qualifier, day two.
Friday qualifiers, day two. There were just rebels, and there were Jumpmasters and ghosts everywhere. So it was just, I don't know what the difference was. It was just who could make what, but it separated itself drastically.
Yeah, Tim and I let all the Jumpmasters in today. Sorry about that.
Well, that was a fun event, but we've got a lot to talk about today beyond Adepticon, so let's get into it.
So Brad, just to start off with a question that gives players an idea of the kind of player you are, can you describe your flying style as an elite pilot talent upgrade card? For example, mine would be opportunist because I want to do damage, but I'm not really picky. I'll take whatever ship ends up in my firing arc. I just want to do the most damage I can.
Attacks of opportunity.
That's right.
So what's yours, Brad?
I would have to say mine would be expose.
Okay.
I just tend to really analyze my opponent's list and find what weaknesses I can take advantage of. So that's usually my flying style. I look at their list more than I look at mine.
So what have you been flying recently in these recent competitive events?
Most recently, ever since this season started, I've been on my double aces with Palpatine backup. We've got Whisper with Veteran Instinct, Fire Control System, Advanced Cloaking Device, and Agent Kallus. Omega Leader, Lockdown, with Juke and Comm Relay, and then Captain Yor in the Lambda Shuttle with Emperor Palpatine.
So how does this exposed pilot talent style you have kind of tie into that list?
That list is very, very maneuverable. It lets me control the initial engagement very well just because of the maneuverability of the ships. And then it has the firepower to, when I do decide to strike, I strike fast and I strike hard. And it really puts my opponent in a difficult position because I try to force them into making bad decisions.
Now, before this, competitively, you've been flying Whisper for quite a while now, right?
Yeah. Phantoms have kind of been my baby ever since I started this game. I joined just after Worlds 2014. I started playing right after the Decimator had come out. So I was on Whisper right away, and then I added the Decimator to it, flew that all last year, and then the Decimator kind of had to leave when some other toys came out, particularly Omega Leader, which let me have Whisper backed up by Palpatine, which is something I always wanted.
Right, and you flew that Whisper Rear Admiral Chernu list to the top 16 finish at Worlds 2015 last year, but then Omega Leader came out just after that around Christmas.
Yeah. Too hard to resist.
It was, and you know, I had Whisper without a crew at Worlds. Like he didn't, there was a slot open, which was asinine if you ask most people, but it worked out well for me. But as soon as I could get a full build Whisper in, have another ace to back him up, and then put Palpatine in the background there, that just makes Whisper nigh unkillable.
A good play now, especially that we're seeing a lot of triple Jumpmaster lists where those zero agility dice ships can really eat a lot of damage really fast. So you might even lose Chirinau in maybe two volleys of fire.
Yeah, if your positioning is poorly, those things, I mean, you're four dice torpedoes that hit at like 97%, you take three of them. You got four hull left on a Decimator, and that's if you haven't taken any ugly crits with the hull on those things. They usually look like slobbering messes when it starts.
Right, and even if you're able to dodge arc with that Veteran Instincts up to 10 plus engine upgrade, those Jumpmasters still have a primary weapon turret, and that hurts your zero agility
pretty
hard.
Absolutely, yeah. You're always going to be taking hits no matter where you are in that one. It's not like you can arc dodge like I did at Worlds because it was, you know, palp aces. So the Decimator moving at 10, I moved after all of them and I would boost around them and I just wasn't taking shots.
Right. And even twin laser turret Y-Wings, you could boost into range one.
Yes, absolutely.
So your Whisper, Omega Leader, and Palpatine shuttle list has been working well for you. Did take you to second place at Adepticon, which is no small feat.
Yeah, it did. I faced five Jumpmaster lists Triple Jump Master list, and it just unfortunately the last one is the one that got me.
The one that got you.
And I noticed in your games against those Jump Masters, you had a very specific opening game plan against them.
Yeah, I had played a bunch of games against the Jump Masters before Hoth, and had learned that I needed to control that opening engagement, but I also needed to control it in space where they could not get multiple guns on me. So I found a way to almost castle in the corner where I started, mm-hmm. and I placed the rocks, well, the debris that I brought very specifically to block lanes to where once they came to the point where I wanted them, I could come out and ensure that I only had one Jump Master shooting at me in the first engagement.
Well, and one thing I think you do really well, and that I think is the best way to play those kind of Palpatine Aces lists, is that you really incorporate that shuttle into your play. When the Palpatine card first came out, we were seeing a lot of people just get the lowest pilot skill shuttle, the generic, throw Palpatine on there, and then just have him sit in the opposite corner out of the fight so that he wouldn't get killed, basically. And what then happens is you only have two ships really actively in combat, whereas you've upgraded that to your pilot who can eat stress, and he stays up right close to those aces as you're flying in.
Yeah, Store Championship season, we actually switched over to Yor on the list, mainly because of the Stress Hog, which in my meta when I was playing down in Nebraska at the time, erased the Stress Hog from the meta because the Stress Hog would come in, it'd take its two shots at Whisper, both Stress would get passed over to the shuttle, and then I'd kill the Stress Hog and it'd never shoot again, and it did nothing. The other thing is when you have the shuttle up in there, guys, that's still three red dice.
Right.
It does some damage.
Well, and the Stress Hog Y-Wing generally only needs to get one shot off to really shut down an ace, and Yor gives you that one turn buffer to get over that.
Even if you don't kill it, it actually gives you two, because if the shuttle's not stressed, the first two go on there, he clears one, the next two can still go on there, because the way Yor's worded, if he has two or fewer, he can still take one. So he can take up to three stress.
And with a Stress Hog, if you're shooting at Whisper, three naked dice or maybe one of those with a focused volley is probably not going to do any damage either. So you've basically wasted all your shots on Whisper.
Exactly right.
So, Brad, I was very impressed with what I saw in your opening plans at Adepticon. And that's one of the main reasons we have you on today. Not just that you're an excellent pilot, but because I think you're someone who I would consider an expert in the field of your opening plan in X-Wing. That's something we've talked about a lot, just kind of passively on the show, but something I really want to get in depth and explain. What does it mean to have an opening plan against a certain list?
So, Brad, if you're going to play against, say, like a dual aggressor list, what is kind of your mindset going into that? What are you expecting to do? What do you want to do?
It really depends on the upgrades on the dual jump masters. The most prevalent right now is the Crackshot Glitterstim variety. Mm-hmm. And with those, if you allow both of them to shoot at the same target and it has four health or less, it's going to die. So my whole gambit on that one is to ensure that I don't give them arc with both ships.
Okay.
I'll take the shuttle up in there first, use the shuttle as a blocker, and I will flank with one, if not both, or feign with one, and then turn hard out, trying to get them to commit to one ship and then running away with it, and then kind of tattooing them from the side with another, or at least get into a position to where both my guys are moving after them. I just use the barrel roll, use my repositioning to ensure that both ships don't get a fire on the same target, unless it's the shuttle, and then go nuts.
Yeah, that sounds like that would effectively take down my dual aggressors.
So let's look at kind of a different style list there. What if you're playing in, say, a triple ace list with three Imperial Aces, maybe Inquisitor and like a Soontrafel or Karn or Jax, and then an Omega Leader?
So against a triple ace list, you have to really analyze, and this is the same thing you do against any list, is you have to analyze what your opponent wants to do. What you want to do isn't really quite as important because they're also not going to be allowing you to do what you want to do. You focus on what their game plan is and do everything you can to wreck it. And if they can't perform their game plan, they're going to make mistakes. That's how I capitalize. It really doesn't matter what the list is. You just have to know what every list is capable of.
And I've heard you talk before about when you have a list, having tools like in a toolbox so that you kind of have a way to beat any other list, whether it's a good likelihood or not. So you kind of look at list matchups like this and you're like, well, in this instance, I use the shuttle as a blocker to action deny these aces who are typically very dependent on their actions. Whereas in another game, you're going to use that shuttle more offensively. Don't play it as a blocker, right?
Absolutely. And I've even played with things like enhanced scopes on the shuttle just to use it as a blocker, but still have that PS4 shot. It's something that's been paying dividends against the Jump Masters recently.
Being able to block them and then also fire before they fire.
Exactly right.
Well, and that strategy, I think, seems especially effective with your type of list where you have that high pilot skill repositioning, being the reactive player as opposed to the proactive one. Figuring out what they're going to do, set it up so that you can
adjust based on what they do.
Yes and no. If you've gotten to that point, you've already let them try to do something. You don't want to play reactive. You want to force their hand. You want to put them in situations where they can't play their ball game at all.
Okay, change the rules of the game.
Absolutely.
You tend to play your Whisper a little more aggressive than we've seen in past meta seasons.
Yeah, I find that, you know, Whisper, people are afraid to get shot at, and people are afraid to rely on their dice. The way I have Whisper built now, especially since Agent Kallus has come out and Emperor Palpatine, you have the tools to fly it more aggressively and know that you're not going to take damage. There's enough dice manipulation that with four defense dice, Agent Kallus token, an evade token, a focus token, and a Palpatine backup, I mean, what are you really afraid of?
Well, and even if you have a ship now that'll outshoot you in pilot skills, you're not cloaked with your Whisper before it fires. If you have an evade token, those two dice and Kallus and Palp, you're probably not going to take any damage still.
Yeah, you're going to evade three. Unless you roll double blank, you evade three, no matter what the paint is on those two dice.
And even if you roll double blank, you still evade two, right?
Exactly right. But with Whisper, I currently fly very aggressive, and that's part of my game plan to disrupt my opponent's game plan. I fly Whisper very aggressively because it's my game plan is to disrupt my opponent's game plan. And when you have ships take damage, especially mass amounts of it, way earlier than you're expecting, it stresses you out. It makes you susceptible to mistakes because you have to be more aggressive in trying to get out of that situation.
And suddenly you're the reactive player, which is not, you're running away.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You want to be the aggressor in every engagement. You want to dictate the pace.
So Brad, something you've mentioned in this discussion a bit that I just want you to expand on a bit more. What does it mean with your list to be controlling the first engagement? What does that look like?
There's two things that come into controlling the first engagement. One is location, and the second's distance. Distance is pretty easy to understand. Is your engagement going to be better at range 1, 2, or 3?
Right, that's pretty easy. So like for my dual aggressors, I really want to be playing that range 3 where I get the benefit of my heavy laser cannon denying their range bonus and still get my auto thrusters to trigger.
Exactly right. And what happens when something like a Palp Aces runs into range 1 of you for the initial engagement?
Right, and I don't get my gunner activation from IGB. That's a lot worse. I would much rather be playing the range 3. You want to be playing the range 1.
Absolutely. The second part of that is location. And what location means is asteroid cover, where at on the board, if it's in the middle, if it's on an edge, if it's on a corner. And that is something you have to plan for before the game even starts.
Right, and even with the Jump Masters now, left side of the board, right side of the board makes a big difference now.
Absolutely it does, because you have to know that your opponent's dials. Particularly the Jump Master, which everybody knows, they turn really well left and not so well to the right. So if you engage them, if you can control it to where you're blocking their good sloops, not blocking their bad sloops, you've already won the battle there a little bit. The other part is forcing engagements in debris or in rocks to where you're limiting the flight lanes of those ships. They're large base ships. They need a lot of room to maneuver. If you limit their ability to maneuver, they bump, they hit stuff, they don't get their actions, they're not firing torpedoes, and you have the advantage at that point.
Right, and using the obstacles to your advantage can take a lot of forms, whether that's blocking your opponent's opening engagement or making sure that they don't have their K-turns or S-loops available.
Yeah, because when I'm setting up, because I'm flying the Triple Jump Masters right now, and when I'm setting up rocks, I'm thinking about, okay, where am I going to need to sloop? I don't want there to be asteroids or debris fields where I'm going to have to sloop. So I kind of have to imagine in my mind, where do I think our first engagement is going to take place? And then also try to position so that that is where our first engagement takes place.
So I'm on Palp Aces, and I bring debris for two reasons. One, I have Captain Yor. So if I have somebody go through debris, I can pass a stress. Still shooting, still take an action. It's a little known fact about debris that in the rules it states you get a stress. Nowhere does it say you skip your action step like it does with asteroids. So if you don't take that stress when you go over debris, you still get to take an action, which has caught a lot of my opponents off guard. Where it gets even worse is when Whisper K turns through debris, passes both stress, and still gets an action.
Right. And so even in matchups where there's not a stress-dealing ship that your opponent brings, you still utilize Yor's pilot ability to your advantage.
Yeah, it's a really strong, it's a really undervalued ability when it comes to engagement control.
Right, so this is something some players don't take enough note of. What obstacles do you want to bring to your list so you're getting the most advantage out of the obstacle you're bringing to the matchup?
Because, Brad, you bring three debris clouds because you're expecting to utilize that Yor ability and then also use those debris clouds to generate extra defense dice.
Absolutely.
And I bring smaller rocks because I want to make sure I still have fire lanes open for my dual aggressors.
And I bring smaller rocks because I'm a bad pilot. So, Brad, one thing we try to instill in the newer players who listen to the show is the idea that you can't just play for that one turn you're in. You can't just set your dial thinking about this turn right now. You have to think 2, 3, even 4 turns out about where your ship's going to be position-wise and where your ship's going to be offensively. Now, how does that play into your strategy when you're flying your list?
With my list, it's very much not just the turn after the one I'm doing now, but the one after that. I am more than willing to give up shots on certain turns if it's going to give me a better shot in the following turns. When I was a newer player, I would always, every turn it was like, I need a shot. And I don't know how many times I flew ships off the board because I got like right. a back arc shot with a fire spray, but then couldn't turn to keep it on the board the following turn.
Right.
And it's a learning curve that newer players, everybody goes through it. And you'll get there. It's just how long does it take you to figure that out?
It is hard to train yourself too, where if I take this certain maneuver, say a one bank or something, I'll have a really good shot and position this turn. And then the next turn, I can't shoot anybody and I can't turn around. So you have to sometimes deny yourself maybe that good range one focus shot for the sake of being able to get shots the next 2 to 3 rounds.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's something you have to balance with your aggression level.
Right, and this is something you can see good players taking advantage of. Putting your ships in a position where the next turn they're able to block your opponent's K turns, or just, you know, Sunterfell's taking that 2 turn and you're in a spot to jam your ship right where Sunterfell's going to end up, denying the actions, setting up your other ships to take advantage of that.
The goal into any game is to string together well-placed shots. And if you can maneuver yourself and maneuver your opponent, you're basically a sheep herder at that point. You want to sheep herd your opponent into positions where you know they only have one option the following turn, and you can capitalize on that one option. If you can string a couple of those turns together, that's how you erase ships quickly, and that's how you win matches by large amounts of MOV.
And it's kind of interesting, too. X-Wing is an awesome game in that there's so many different ways you can manipulate your opponent. You can run lists where you're exclusively trying to get in close and block their good maneuvers, or you can utilize things like ships with high attack dice, like the Phantom, where they have a high offensive output, so your opponent's kind of afraid to even get into range 3 there, so they'll kind of skirt the edge until they can get in close.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You should use any tactic available to you. In all honesty, in this game, you find a ship that fits your playstyle, find a way to fly it differently than most people or better than most people, and take advantage of its strengths and safeguard its weaknesses.
All right, so let's put this into a practice theoretical example here. Tim, you're flying triple jump masters. Brad, you're flying your Whisper, Omega, and your... You guys get paired together. You sit down across the table, see your opponent's list. Brad, what's your first thoughts?
Judge. Intentional draw?
Intentional draw. We take the draw every time. No, this is funny because we actually just played this game out a couple days ago.
Yes.
And it was a pretty tight game, I'd like to say.
Yeah, it was very close.
Anytime I can make Brad Miller sweat, I enjoy that so much.
We were at a small tournament. It was 60-minute rounds, and we definitely went to time.
But yeah, let's kind of get into that, like our thoughts going into that. I'd love to hear what you were thinking when you saw my setup, because I had to put my ships down first.
Yeah, well, I want to start with the rocks, actually, because rocks are a big deal when it comes to my playstyle, and I took the initiative. Did you have initiative?
I believe I had initiative, and I gave it to you.
That's right. So you gave me initiative, and I took a debris, and I put it just short of 3 and 3 in my right corner. Okay. What that does is it prevents my opponent from putting something at 2 and 2 in that corner and gives me a spot where I know I can fortress and have all the maneuver room I need to stay there for the entire game if I need to. Okay.
And you know, because my jump masters are strong to the left, that I'm probably going to set up in my lower right corner. So you want to keep that corner clear for you to position and hold back.
Exactly. And the fact that I make you come all the way to the right, to my right, when I do engage you, I'm going to move up the board to where I'm engaging you from your sloop lanes to where they're not available to you. Which is exactly what happened.
It wasn't exactly what happened. I had a clean sloop, and I pretty much almost killed the Whisper that round, but...
Well, no, I mean, you couldn't get all your ships around, and we ended up having to go up that right side of the board rather than...
That is true.
...flip
that
around and fight in the middle of the board.
Well, and I think definitely what played into it, too, you had your debris fields. All three of those ended up on your right corner, basically, and you leveraged those early on for... defense, where they'd give you an extra defense die when I was shooting at you, and they definitely became a problem for me later when I had a hard time turning around, getting those big base jump masters to flip around and get more shots.
Exactly right, and that's the design. And you absolutely did erase my Whisper in that game.
Well, the way I did it too is I had to, of course, set up in the lower right corner. I try to keep the rocks pretty wide because I'm fairly confident as a pilot, but the problem with those three big base ships is you do need a little room if you want to get good blocks in, which is always what I'm going for against those ace ships.
Right, so, or if you want to keep keep a tight formation, make sure you can get multiple torpedo shots exactly. off on one target.
So the first engagement, position-wise, was actually probably favorable to Brad, but dice-wise ended up in my favor. I don't believe I took any damage from that first shot, so you didn't get a free focus token.
So where on the board did this first engagement take place?
Well, I moved up the right side for a turn or two and then turned in hard left. So basically, I came straight across the middle of the board from my perspective, right side to left side.
And I moved just enough up on my right side that he was basically coming at me in a conga line. So I controlled that only one jump master was getting that initial shot, and it was through debris.
Unfortunately for Brad, though, he didn't get any damage back at me, which was a little rough. And then I was able to clear a sloop there and get all my ships shooting that following round.
Yes, I rolled poorly with Whisper. Whisper's first shot really requires dice luck. Didn't get it, so all I had was my evade token and my Palpatine backup.
Well, I was also packing Forlom on that one ship that was able to shoot, so I was able to lock down your token. I believe I did slip a damage through on that one.
Yes, you did. You ended up slipping a damage through and... play mistake on my part. I'm glad we actually played that match because now I know when I see Forlom, that's where my Agent Kallus goes. Because it was not on that ship in that game.
Locking down that evade token a couple turns. Yeah. Well, and I had a clean sloop the following turn, and I still had my target lock because I rolled a really good offensively. Yes. So I still had my target lock, focus, and another torpedo shot on Whisper.
Well, yes. And that's part of the reason we stress practicing with your list a lot is because in those practice games, that's how you develop your plans against the ships. See what works, what went terribly wrong, so you know in your next match what to prepare for.
So luckily, his slooping ship didn't have Whisper and Arc that next turn and wasn't able to capitalize. I ended up erasing one of his jump masters the following turn and then lost Whisper right along with it. Luckily, Omega Leader had not been touched at that point. Mm-hmm. The shuttle had moved up and was putting in good damage as well. I ended up clearing a second jump master, and then it was his third jump master chasing down my shuttle, which had one crit on it that was...
I had landed a crit through with Boba, and I had stripped your Palpatine off.
That's right.
Right before I lost the second jump master.
So that brings up something we didn't mention, and what does it mean to have a plan? The idea of a closing ship. So in X-Wing, a lot of times you're trading ships. It's like chess. You're trading pieces. You want to be thinking about what ships are you bringing to the end game versus what ships are your opponents going to bring to the end game. Can you be able to close out with that one ship versus their one ship?
Yeah, and I think this is a good comparison comparing the Palpatine Aces list to the Triple Jump Masters because they definitely tend to favor different parts of the game. It's really hard to beat Jump Masters in terms of efficiency in that first volley or two because they can put out so much damage so fast. Late game, they're not the worst, but with only a two-dice primary weapon, if you're down to one Jump Master, you're probably not going to win that game.
Yeah, with Palpatine Aces, to be completely honest, I don't expect to lose a ship in a game. If things go my way and I do things right, I may lose the shuttle or half points on the shuttle, but that's a pretty standard outcome. If I'm going to lose a ship, I want it to be Whisper, because nothing closes a game out like Omega Leader. One-on-one, there's pretty much no ship in the game when it can't modify its dice that can take him in a fight.
Especially if you've got Palpatine backing you up defensively.
Yeah, if he's still on the board too, you've got a tough road ahead of you. Yeah, I'm only throwing two dice, but with Comm Relay and Juke... I control the defense dice you roll. You can't modify. The odds are in my favor.
And that's definitely, I think, what killed me in our game is that I shot Whisper, which is still a pretty valid target if I can take that off the board. It probably took me one more turn than I would have liked it to. And what ended up happening, with only my two ships, I wasn't able to get in a position where I could block and action deny your Omega Leader. And the Palpatine, shot after shot, coming from my guy, could just not put damage through.
Yeah, and I think I dropped one more of your Jump Masters, and then we finished off. I mean, it was a modified win by like 6 points or something.
Right, a close game. Well, Brad, thank you so much for joining us today. It was really a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, man, thanks for putting up with me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Brad, and welcome back to Minnesota.
Thanks.
So we have a couple regional tournaments coming up here soon. On May 7th and 8th, we have the Minnesota Regional at the Fantasy Flight Game Center in Roseville, Minnesota. That is an event that has no pre-registration, so you can just show up the day of. I don't believe they're going to have a player cap.
And then the following weekend, on May 14th and 15th, Board Game Barrister is hosting the Wisconsin Regional Champion in Greenfield, Wisconsin.
And they do have a player cap, I believe. I don't know if they're sold all their seats yet, but you do want to pre-register, so probably check out their website and get the info there.
Right, they have a cap of 104 players.
As always, guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. Please go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page. That way you can stay up to date with all the episode releases and anything else we post relating to X-Wing.
You can follow us on Twitter @RadioTCX Podcast. We'll definitely be giving you updates about these regional events.
And if you really like the show, please go onto iTunes and give us a 5-star review and just leave a little comment saying what you like about the show. It really helps us grow the show when we see those reviews, and a big thank you to everybody who's already posted a review.
Right, this helps us know what you enjoy about the show so we can keep providing that to you and helps us reach a larger audience.
Again, guys, thank you for listening. Have a good week.
Fly fast.